Sorry, the November 20th, 2019 meeting of the Board of Water Commissioners of the Kootenai Fire District to order at 5:45 p.m. And present are Commissioners Robinson, Hoppenstadt, and Horsley with Superintendent Weissman. I would like to, I will first start off with any public comment. We will like to take Councillor Rapp Grissetti out of order so that we can accommodate her. She's here at our request. But is there any public comment before we get to that? Okay, so Jessica is here to, at our request, to just have an informal discussion about the future use of the Kootenai Elementary School, which has now been lying fallow since the end of the school year in June, as far as I know. And all we've heard is, so far, what we read in the papers, that the school committee wants to turn the property back to the town, which indicates to me that there's no future use of the school as a school. And that has implications for our, obviously for our village, but even more important for our purview is the water supply, that entire property being within the Zone 2 protection area for the village well, just down the hill from that. And I think the school itself is about 800 feet from the well, but the property certainly is adjacent to our holdings there, and the water tank is, you know, 50 yards from the little tot lot at the school. So we just wanted to see what's going on, if there are any initial thoughts by the town or by the village, so that we can be maybe brought into that exploration with you. And we also have here Jim Danhauser. I don't know if he's representing the Civic Association or not, but okay.
Is that?
Good evening. Can you hear me? Yeah. So tonight, as a matter of fact, the school committee meets, and agenda number 15 on their meeting is the discussion and disposition of the school to the town. I expect, and that was referred from their meeting last month, and I think they did that out of deference to the new members that are seated. There's two new members. One was reelected, Mr. Judge, but Nystrom and Bent are two new members. I think they wanted to wait until everybody was seated before they made that decision. I don't expect them to decide not to hold on to the property, so it's going to be transferred tonight officially to the town as surplus, similar to the Marston's Mill School, which was done over a decade ago. Mark Ells has heard me loud and clear when I asked him that anything that happens with that school is to be discussed by the village, the Civic Association, and I think we have a good relationship with the town manager as far as keeping us informed, and so we're not surprised on anything. I will say that the Cape Cod Collaborative, who occupies the Osterville Bay School, which again was a school that was given up for surplus by the school department. Actually, I think the school department still has that, and it's under their purview, and they rent that to the Collaborative. They are currently located, the Collaborative, over at the Wing School in Sandwich, and I don't know if you've read, but they're giving up that school for surplus sandwiches, and the Collaborative answered the bid to purchase the school along with another entity, and I think the other entity is going to prevail, Stratford Capital. They will come in and redo the building and turn it into housing, which leaves the Collaborative out. Their lease ends next June at that school, and they offered $50,000 a year to stay there, but I believe Sandwich, and this has to be determined at town meeting in Sandwich, whether or not they want to accept Stratford Capital's proposal, which is, I think, like $1.2 million, and then they would maintain the facade, the historic facade of the wing school. I think that's probably where Sandwich is leading, which leaves the collaborative looking for space. And one of the reasons why Waldorf's lease was not renewed was they were not performing, but they were in arrears, which they cured themselves before they left the school. But the collaborative expressed interest in moving there. So that's why one of the reasons why it was not renewed, the lease. And then when the walkthrough came time for the collaborative with the school department, they noticed some deficiencies in the building and, you know, handicapped accessibility, because they do service kids with needs. Not only that, but some mechanicals, the HVAC, and it's just heating ventilation. I think it's just FHV. I don't think there's any HC there, AC there, but and new roof. And so the school department put forward an estimate of repair to the tune of $1.3 million to bring it up to code, or bring it up to the the compliance for the collaborative to make a bid on leasing the property. And it was because of all the costs associated with that, I think the school department said, you know, we're really not in the business of leasing property, we're in the business of schooling children, so it's time to give up. So along with the leases, the agreement for Waldorf, or any entity that was putting money into that building, came a separate fund, and right now in that fund is $250,000 for the repair and maintenance of that building. So there is some money set aside to repair the building, and I wouldn't think that it would be unlikely for the collaborative, because they haven't closed the door, according to the superintendent, for the collaborative to approach the school or the town once they take ownership to look to locating there. That's all I can report. I can tell you that, you know, there's been overtures by the fire department looking at the building for, you know, office space and whatever else, storage space, there's been thought about housing, but as you stated, you know, it's in a sensitive area. Not only is it 13 acres of land that's upgradient of the well, but paired with the acres across the street, not on the Main Street side, but on the west side, there's a good chunk of land there that could be developed. There's wetland issues there, but it's a good portion of land we're talking about. So Mark Ells has heard me when I say whatever happens to that building, it's got to be up for discussion in the village. And he knows our concerns with the maintaining the field for open space and use by the public. And certainly any kind of overtures for housing, unless they come with a definitive plan for treating wastewater, would not even be entertained. So.
Commissioner Horsley?
Jessica, thanks for that update. Looking at the map, the property is within the zone too, but it's right on the border according to the map. In fact, I think the little sliver of the land on the west side may even be out of the zone. I don't know where the septic system is there, but would it be possible for us to somehow assert or request a condition on the town, whatever they do with it, that part of the upgrade, in addition to HVAC, would be the septic system. There are technologies that they could put in there to make the situation better. Depending on where the system is, they could move it to a more favorable location. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if we could add that to the, you know, as a suggested condition to whatever happens, short of possibly acquiring the property and having nothing happen.
You've been touting your fertigation wells. Could you fertigate a
public playing field, or is that not a good idea?
Yeah, I think that certainly would be a possibility. It'd be a good demonstration project. Yeah.
Do you want to explain that to the audience?
So one
for the
of
record.
One of the technologies as identified as part of the 208 plan was installing irrigation wells in strategic locations such that when you pump the water, you also capture some nitrogen that's in the groundwater and apply that to a turf grass area, hence the name fertigation. You're fertilizing and irrigating at the same time. This is something that's done throughout the golf course industry and the agricultural industry. So it's and there's been very little of that here in the Cape, but it's a pretty simple technology. It really just means put the well in the right place and pumping some of the nitrogen out of the groundwater onto the athletic field, and you don't have to put any fertilizer or less fertilizer, commercial fertilizers down. So it might be.
That field gets no irrigation now. Sort of.
I have
right.
No idea. Probably not.
And that field is.
It's crown grass.
On the bottom of the list to be rehabbed.
I'm
right.
Sure. Yeah.
But maybe, I mean, that could be one of the potential conditions, either a so-called innovative alternative septic replacement and or a fertigation well that might redirect some of the nitrogen onto the playing field, if in fact there's a desire to maintain that or upgrade that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought one of our discussions was maybe acquiring the property too as well, mm-hmm. Right?
Well,
Commissioner Hoppenstein.
Yes. So when I was thinking about this several weeks ago, I brought it up at the last meeting under the new business. I was thinking that I was considering that the property and its proximity to our well fields and to the tank is ideal for water department property or for district property. And as I've been mulling it over in my mind, as a school, it's been a wonderful asset to the town, and there's no reason that it couldn't remain a school if it was returned to the district or if it was given to the district or acquired by the district. And in terms of demonstration projects,
yeah,
and in terms of waterworks,
yeah.
Training center
Greater,
for,
yeah.
for our guys and for other guys throughout the Cape.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Know what the town's ability is to give that land to a district that's part and parcel of the town, or if the district has to pay for it. So I have asked Mark Boudreau to give me some background on that, and I've looked at the Mass General laws a little bit, and the town can give land to other government agencies. That's within their purview. So, I mean, when you're looking at piece of ground that obviously they don't owe anything on,
yeah.
Right? And they've got money in the bank on already. Perhaps we could work out some sort of a lease deal,
yeah.
Or a long-term lease deal where we could use that land. It also makes for a very enticing opportunity down the road, proactive, should we need to do any water treatment. It's again right next to one of our pump stations, the one that's probably the most at risk, and it is also adjacent to a large storage structure where we could hold treated water and deliver it to the residents. So I guess there's a lot going on with that property that could be favorable to the district, and not to say the least of the fact that the Kettleers use it and the fire department could use it for training. We use the Mashpee Public School where I work for training for emergency personnel to come in and train for bad things that happen at schools, you know, and they're always looking for facilities to do that in. So it could still remain a school, which would maybe help our argument as well. But
Scott?
Well, along those lines, Jessica, did you mention that the meeting tonight is to discuss possibly. Currently, it's owned by the school committee, not by the town.
That's right. It's owned by the school department. The school is not a district per se. It's actually a department of the town, and there, it's in their, it's under their purview, and they have to formally give it to the town or for it to be assumed under the assets of the town.
They would give up
control of the building, like they did the Mashpee, or like they did the Marston's Mills School.
I ask because Commissioner Hoppenstadt's idea is a great one, and if in fact that were to be a real option, it seems to me it would save a step, transfer to the town, town transfers to the district. Why not go right from the school to the district if that's an option?
No.
No, okay.
It's not. The school has to give it to the town.
Okay.
Then the town decides. And then it becomes, under the manager, his responsibility is to manage the assets of the town. So I currently serve on the Asset Management Advisory Committee. So I'm not sure how this is going to make its way through from once it's handed over to Mark. And that discussion will have will take place soon.
So,
and let me just say, from the feedback I've gotten from my constituents, everyone would like to see it be remain a public school, but also shared use with the village. So,
under the category of don't wish too hard for something that might come true. They could very well give a property to the district, and then we're saddled with millions of dollars of upkeep. But it's interesting that, having attended these recent administration building proposals, and somebody brought up a very good point, you know, that it's not just space needs, looking at one part of it, but the district as a whole could be consolidated. It seems to me, if it's 1.2 to rehab this building and $3 million to bond to build a 1,500 square foot building, maybe a lot more space in a school for firemen, water department people, and clerks, and treasurers, and everybody else. you have a you know, ready-made hall for functions.
For voting.
Right. Yeah. So my question, not my question, but my point is that, you know, maybe the district as a whole should be doing a comprehensive strategic plan to look at, you know, the whole district-wide needs of buildings.
On that point, there is a policy advisory committee.
That's what I was going to mention.
I met last week with Silvio, and he is going to get that more active now, and understands that his main mission with that committee is to, in fact, develop a long-range plan for the district as a whole, as opposed to making decisions issue by issue as they arise, is try to have a longer-range thought-out plan for what to do with the district, what the district needs are, what its assets needs are, on that kind of a basis. So I'm hopeful that will go forward. I'm planning to attend, because they will have public meetings. I'm going to go to all of them, and our association is going to press very hard, having watched what's gone on over the last year, to force some long-range planning so that decisions can be made against the backdrop of what 3 to 5 to 7 years looks like. And that can be a whole host of things, including potential consolidation with other villages, for the fire district, for the fire department, you know, all questions that ought to be addressed without any sacred cows, and trying to come up with what's the best solution for the district as a whole, not just issue by issue, but against the backdrop of what it looks like over a longer term.
Well, I personally, as somebody who lives across the street from the Main Street entrance to the school, I mean, you know, I have a memory burn of my third and fourth graders walking across, talking to each other, and go to school together. I mean, it only happened 1 year because they were bussed everywhere else during the rest of the time. But it was just a cool thing to think that you have a village school.
Yeah.
People that.
The other thing that I've thought about is, you know, there's a lot of seniors in the village too, so some kind of shared use. And this all depends on, you know, and what Mark will be looking at is the highest and best use of the property, okay, and for the town, and that's his job to see, realize as much for the town as possible. So it might be that it could be a shared space, which I kind of wish that could have happened with Waldorf. It could have been a shared space. It maybe didn't need all of it, but maybe they could have worked with the collaborative. But so the adult community center, previously the senior center, I know it has gotten feedback that, geez, how come you don't have programs out in the western part of the town? Okay, we're the western part of the town. So that's a possibility for some kind of shared use there as well. And recreation has expressed an interest in it. So there could be, you know, it could benefit a lot of folks. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's something that's going to have to be looked at. But I also have told Mark that I don't, the biggest concern I have is it staying vacant, because it becomes another white elephant like Marston's Middle School, and then eventually it needs to be torn down. And that school does not need to be torn down. It's got new windows. I know, you know, it's not recently built, but it that $1.3 million, that could be done over many years, and it's certainly habitable right now.
Well, obviously, it's been fine for my kids. And maybe
yeah,
kids.
I mean, we all went there.
Did you go there for me?
I went all the way from K through 6 in that school. Yeah.
So we've got two alums here right here.
Right.
Three, yeah. I don't know,
rode
you.
My bike there, yeah. Every, yeah.
Well, the policy committee is meeting on the 4th of December, so.
Policy
and that's. I'm sure are going to be the priority on our agenda.
So I guess
just the other thing too is tomorrow night the town council is a joint meeting of the school committee and the town. So I'm prepared to say at that meeting that I look forward to some now that the school has, and I'm assuming that vote happens tonight. Now that the school has given that up, it'll be my intention to push it through asset management to come up with what needs to be done there and what should be done there.
Yeah. Lying vacant is the worst thing that can happen to a building, as we know.
Yep, because right now it's on the shoulders of the taxpayers. Before, there was at least someone leasing the place and paying to keep the lights on and the heat going and keeping an eye out on it. Now there's no one.
Yeah. So. My experience with the upper management of the town and perhaps your asset committee is that in the context of land conservation, the town prefers not to keep acquiring assets. They don't have the money to take care of what they own.
That's right.
And they'd rather work in partnership with other groups that can take care of properties. And maybe that's the same attitude here.
And that was one of the reasons why when I was president, I formed that committee, to try to get rid of some stuff that the town owns that should be owned by abutters to the property that are already storing, you know, doing composting or storing their boats on the property anyway, put it on the tax roll. And we've chosen to get the low-hanging fruit, the ones that have clear title. We've already disposed of one round. There should be another round coming up of properties. I don't know how this will fall. Look at the armory, which was given to us, and that still remains vacant. There's another property that you know, the town would like to do something with, and we've got money to do something to it, but the cost to fix that building, the longer it sits there, is going to just go up and up and up.
So in terms of this Water Commission, I think our number one concern is the impact of any different land uses or even continuing school use on the groundwater impact so close to the well. If there are opportunities to improve the water quality on that site, we'd hope the town would explore those.
May I make a recommendation that this body draft a letter to the manager and essentially saying what you are saying tonight, so you go on record and perhaps put a few of your ideas and, you know, your willingness to sit and discuss it.
The absolute worst scenario would be for the town to sell it for private development.
Yeah,
I think we're all in agreement on that.
That's right. I have heard too that it was identified years ago, a portion of it for a pump station. There's also some restriction on the property as far as no lights being on the tennis court when that property was carved out and given by, I think it was the Pearsons, gave that property. They said, you know, you put tennis courts here, but no lights can be on it.
They got that from the Lowells.
there's some restriction on the property, but as I said, I don't know all to the extent of it all, and won't know until it's under the town's purview.
Good. Well, thank you for coming and giving us an opportunity to at least let you know that we are interested in the fate. And would anybody like to draft that letter?
I'll volunteer to do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. And you can share it with us for...
For your signature?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments, Chris?
If you wouldn't mind copying me in on that letter you sent, that'd be great.
Okay. Just copy me in so I can review it too before to see if I have any comments on it. I'm pretty sure you'll hit all the major points onto it and everything, but if there's any others that I can think of.
Is there any experience you have with the school as an abutter to the water department property?
I don't have, I've never had any water quality issues that have ever been proven to be from that school or anything like that, but since I've been around in the last 32 years, there really hasn't been an elementary school, you know, of how many, you know, going at least and everything. They had already built the one in Centerville, well, I guess it's like 25 years ago. When did it actually close down? Do you remember?
Well, my daughter went to, she went to third and fourth grade there back in 2000. But yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember because I know my oldest son, he did go there maybe. Maybe it was just the mills before they started going. So I guess it was probably 20 years, it could have been 18 years ago they closed it down. But I haven't seen anything since I've been here that's spiked or gone down, I will say. The only thing that I used to notice was it was a direct place for people to kids to walk through, to go to the coop, to go wherever, that little section right there. They loved that little path, and sometimes they'd I'd catch them hanging around down there, throwing rocks and stuff like that. Nothing too big, but it would just be more of hanging around and everything. It's not really that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But if there was something larger of a larger capacity, that's 400 feet from our zone one, which we already don't own a complete amount of there. So we're having a hard enough time protecting what we have there now compared to what potentially could be there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Okay. Get back on the agenda. So we'll start back from the top. The minutes.
Thank you, Justin.
And these are the minutes of the October 16th, 2019 meeting.
We approve as written.
Is there a second? Better make sure we say nice things about her.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I didn't hear a second.
I haven't read it.
Okay. Did we get these by email?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't read them either. So let's table it.
This.
We'll table it.
Just take a second to go through.
No, well, maybe we can read it through while we're doing other things. But so let's go to water quality. And this is the PFAS testing generically. And what we have done is written to DEP and asked them, thank them in advance for including us in a round of sampling for these what are now called forever chemicals in minute quantities that can cause a concern for a public water supply. Anything new, Chris?
Yeah, there's actually been no, I haven't got a date, but I did see last week John Hobel himself at a meeting with DEP that we had over in Mashpee, and I just mentioned to him who I was, told him we were patiently waiting. And he said, yeah, you're still on the list. He said, we're just getting the higher priorities first. Same answer that he's given every time.
Yep. Okay, well,
both him and Bill with it, yeah.
It is a service
right.
because of the expense of these tests and the delicate protocols for doing the sampling. So if we can get DEP to do it, I think that's probably the best.
Yeah, and it's
We may have to do follow-up in the future, but we can't necessarily rely on DEP doing it all the time. But if they're willing to do it for us, I think we ought to give them a chance. We do think this is urgent in terms of getting ahead of the information. Any comments?
I guess I'm just wondering, should we set a deadline for ourselves? I mean, we don't know when and if they're going to do it, right? It sounds like they are, but at some point we do have the money to do it ourselves.
We have the money for this current fiscal year, but
yes.
I think we ought to give them into the spring to get it.
And one of the things he also did mention was that he thinks before, within 2 to 3 months, that Fossil County will be certified to do the testing also, so that we won't have to send it away or anything like that. So they have been working on it, he says, and they're real close. Because he was having a meeting with Cape Cod, so he wanted them to know that at least and everything.
We still need a contractor to take the
samples. Yes, that's what we told him. We said, the way you tell us to take it, you know, nobody wants to take it themselves for fear that they'll mess something up.
Yeah.
Between the gloves and the suit and the not washing of the hair or what you put in your clothes, and it's ridiculous what they're putting you go through. But they know what they're doing, so put the Tyvek suit on and do it, I guess. I'm not really sure, but yeah.
Should we reach out to potential contractors and see if there's any available that would be willing to do the collection for
I already got a price from three people back a while back, and then we got into the free.
Let's let DEP give it a shot first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not required to do
that,
this.
But I don't want to let it go for too long.
That's my feeling.
Okay, so why don't we say give us ourselves a deadline, end of January, something like that?
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll give him another call, find out how we're doing come January.
Or at least if he can get us on a schedule by end of January.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sodium raw water sample results.
You should have a result page in your folder. The raw water results came back. They weren't much lower than what we took before. They're still above the threshold. Just blanking my head.
This, this right here?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a table of the five stations with readings dating back, snapshot readings dating back to 1990. And do we have any overall trends that we're seeing here? Obviously, the averages have gone up in the almost 30 years.
Yeah, they've gone up tremendously.
What are these units?
Milligrams per liter, I think, for sodium.
Yes, the 20 grams per liter. I'm sorry, I should have had it. I asked, Jen had put this up for us before, and I just asked her to add two. I believe that it's 15. Is what they say, anything over 15, you should have an advisory kind of, and we do post that in our consumer conference report anyways. Should be one here.
So over 15, what is it, milligrams per liter?
Yeah.
There's recommended that we provide an advisory.
It's an EPA rec suggested.
So right now, we did testing this year in August and also in October, all five stations, and they averaged between 20 and 21.6.
Correct.
So we're above that advisory limit.
Is the advisory 15 or 20?
It could be
20. It's 20.
Is it 20?
I think so, unless it's changed recently.
No, it hasn't. I'm getting confused. I hate to say it because I also have my iron and manganese results over here, and I know one's 5, one's 3, and I'm trying to think, is it 15?
It's a lot.
Sorry, I've got a lot of numbers. Yeah.
Pretty sure it's 20.
Okay, can I make a suggestion for this table that at the bottom we find out what is the advisory limit, what is there a more mandatory reporting limit?
And those should be on the footnotes of this.
Yeah, there isn't a mandatory. I don't know if anybody. I usually have a consumer confidence report right here. Do you have one in your folder at all? In the last one that we had. It's posted in our consumer.
If you're asking for a little bit of a revision of this, could we graph it too? It looks like it's an Excel table, just so we can see if there's any trends. Put it in a graph.
Pretty sure Jen's pretty good with the computer. Yeah, we could graph it just to see over the years.
Yeah, it'd be good just to see if there's any trend. We're trying to look at it, but if the data's in a spreadsheet, which it looks
and
like.
And they're all taken in the third quarter of testing, so they're within a 3-month period usually.
Yeah, you admit, like I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right across the board, right?
Yeah.
Except for station three.
And you had mentioned
station five is. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's station five. The is over behind the.
It's closer to Route 28, between Route 28 and Stratford Ponds, where they have that.
So it's almost on the.
And it's actually our deepest at 160 feet.
Yeah. Right.
The others are all shallow wells, really. I think the deepest one we have 160, 142. One's like 20 something, and one's even actually down to another 30.
I wonder at what point you start worrying about saltwater.
Well, I'm thinking more road salt as the source here. And when was that development built on north of 28 near the well field?
Last 20 years.
Yeah, it was before we put the pumping station in, I think, originally.
I'm not talking about the one in Sandwich, the one in parts, but isn't there pretty.
Oh, are you talking the last one that we just put in?
Yeah.
Couture Meadows?
That's like.
Oh, that was a 3-year pass. Yeah, that went in the last 10 years.
Because, I mean, that's, you know, it looks like it's gone up quite a bit, right? 30, 31, 24. Could be, I'm guessing, more of a road salt issue. Between Route 28 would be a big source for the main well field. Because everything that goes in the ground there heads to the wells from there. So that's a likely. And I'm just thinking that number five is probably, could be that development. Because that's within the zone two.
Right, and the other one, that Stratford Ponds that's behind us.
That's been there for a while.
It has, but we used to monitor it coming before they moved.
Yeah.
What they did is they moved their zone, they moved their effluent out of the zone two.
You mean the wastewater?
Yeah, the wastewater, so that they didn't have to meet.
They did move it out?
Yes, they moved it about 6 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
They built a new wastewater plant?
They moved where they were pumping into the ground, yeah.
Okay.
So where their discharge was, they moved outside of the zone two, so they didn't have to reach the stringent laws that they had to in the zone two. Supposedly it was going to go. We have a well in between, and I think we just had that tested. You used to do the testing on it, actually, but you don't anymore. So you got that good. I mean, you might not have realized it, but
no,
you did.
No, I didn't realize
that. I just had it tested, I think, not more than 6 months ago, and I can check on that, too, and see the results a little more.
Do we know if is it called the Meadows? Is that the name of the development?
Couture Meadows.
Are those private roads or are those town roads? Is that Mashpee?
That's Couture. I have some results on their effluent, too, if you need to see any of that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking more on the salt side. If they are private roads, I'm wondering if the town is salting them or if it's private. If it's private, we might be able to approach them about, you know, mention, you know, let them know they're in the zone, and you know they could curtail their practices a little bit. There are alternatives to road salting. You know, there's calcium chloride you could use instead of sodium chloride.
I believe that they're town roads because they have more affordable housing in there. So I don't know if they because they went through the permitting and and everything. I would assume. With the treatment, they take care of that treatment plant, but I think everything had to go in through the town of Barnstable.
I mean, they are getting high, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And they are getting higher. You had mentioned, Chris, that you thought they were trending upward.
Yeah.
And it sure looks like that's right.
Do you know if any other local suppliers are seeing these same things?
I can make a couple inquiries. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, you still get together with the water suppliers regularly? they have agendas?
I will be. We have a winter meeting coming up, I'll say next month, that actually Sean's going with me to it and everything. It can be a question I ask around a little bit.
Maybe you could ask them ahead of time and they could bring a sheet like this for their wells. And,
yeah, I could just ask.
Chris, one other question. It says raw here, but are all of these raw water samples?
No.
Oh, they're not?
No, we just took that raw water. Because we're putting in the sodium, potassium.
So which one is the raw sample here?
Sodium hydroxide, thank you. Because we're putting the sodium hydroxide, we figure we're adding a little bit of salt to the water when we're testing it.
Yeah.
So that's why we checked to see if it was pre-treatment, what would be the difference between that and the raw, in the post-treatment.
So the raw
is pre-treatment.
Which is the raw sample in here?
It's the October 29th.
Just the last one. That's the only one we did.
All five stations are raw water there.
Correct.
And prior to that, those were all treated.
Correct. And the ones we took a couple months before were all treated.
And that doesn't show a big difference.
Not really. Very minimal.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're not required to do secondaries. Sodium results every year.
Right.
So it's one of those things where if I don't think about doing it at a certain time and saying, hey, guys, go out and get those two, or if I didn't put it in the budget the year before because we got a waiver on it, they weren't done in years past. That's why there's a gap in between sometimes here and stuff like that.
I think there is a requirement to advise in the report, right?
That's in our CCR. We have to put in the CCR that... Because our levels are at or close to suggested level or EPA's levels, notify your doctor. If you're on a low sodium diet, get advice from your doctor on what you can do to stop this or find something.
I've heard in reality, sort of off the record a little bit, that this level, if people eat bread, you're probably getting a lot more sodium my knowledge of this is not a huge, but right from a legal standpoint, I think we are required to advise people if it is at 20 or more, which we are. So I don't know if that's going to the annual report, but to the consumer report, but it should be.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I also think it's a little bit of an indicator. If it is road salt, then that means we're getting other pavement, stormwater, road runoff constituents, which we're not testing for. And so that's another, it's worth thinking a little bit, and I'll certainly try to do this. I would quickly guess Route 28 and some of the local roads would be the bigger source. I doubt we're getting much saltwater intrusion up there. And like I say, it could be an indicator of other things down the line.
So that well is pretty close to, and it's a deep well, and it's fairly close to St. Tuit.
True.
River.
True.
St. Tuit Pond. You've got that valley that's going to kind of concentrate.
How deep is it, Chris?
The well?
Five, yeah.
160 feet.
160?
Yeah.
That's nowhere near the saltwater interface, is it?
Probably 300 or 400 feet to get down there. So it's probably not close enough.
Never mind.
We're okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Chris, for providing this additional round of testing so that we could compare the two raw versus treated. I do think there's some information that you could add here to the bottom.
Yeah.
We are advising people annually through our... What's the CCR?
Consumer Confidence Report.
Right, and that's a state mandate.
Yep.
So... we can do some more education about this, but I would be interested to see if, for instance, COMM or Mashpee have similar. Mashpee's not old enough to know, maybe, but their district is.
That's what they've got now.
Yeah.
Even. Yeah.
Yeah. But this trend is. The Cape is more developed now than it was in 1990. Does that have any correlation? I don't know. More cars on the road, more salt, I don't know. But I think it's important that as a department, we keep ahead of this stuff, even if it's just advisory. People want to know what's in their water, and we should be able to tell them. So I've just put some notes here that you and Jen might want to.
Okay, great. I'll put that with it.
I think it's great that Commissioner Horsley mentioned the fact that it could be an indicator of other things that we haven't even thought about checking.
Right, great. Okay, any other water quality?
Yeah, I had a couple things here. Not much different from last year, actually, but we did get our secondary contaminant reports back, which is has our iron and manganese in it. And last year, the suggested MCL for copper, for iron is 0.3 milligrams per liter, I believe. And we had a average result of the five of 0.071 last year, and this year we had an average of 0.0 even. So that iron, basically didn't, that's manganese, I'm sorry. We have 0.14 this year and 0.28 last year, because out of our five stations, we only had iron coming out of one station. Believe it or not, last year. This year it's coming out of four.
You're confused. You've got to start over.
Yes, I'm sorry.
So the limit for iron is 0.3?
0.3, yes.
And we have what?
Right now, 0.14.
Last year, 0.28.
Yeah, and that 0.28 came from one station.
Which one?
That was, that 0.28 came from station four.
That's the one closest to
the
wetland.
And if you actually average that, I guess around five, it would be, divided times five, it would be a lot less. So, yeah. If it was blended out, it would be blended out more.
Is the 1.14 also from station five?
Station four.
Station four, I'm sorry.
Yeah, station four this year was a 0.32.
Do we have these numbers here?
No, these are just ones that I can get copies of them if you want
to
look at it.
Yeah.
This year, station four was a 0.32. It's actually just above the suggested MCL, but the other stations brought it down.
Because it's blended, like fine whiskey.
Correct.
Okay. So 0.14 is the blended.
Correct. Yeah. And if I sat down, I should figure this out. If I was to, it would actually be a 0.1112. For the 0.28, if I actually divided that 0.28 by 5 to blend it. So if it was going in with the 5 that didn't have last year any results at all coming out of them, they were all non-detects.
That was iron as well?
That was the iron, yeah.
And how about for the manganese?
Manganese is another story. The suggested MCL is 0.05. Last year we had a 0.071 average. This year we have a 0.07 even. So it basically stayed the same. I do have, I could probably even just give you this, because
sure.
I have a copy of it
at
the office and everything. I can make a copy of it. These results here, you're concerned a little more with station four. Station four was a 0.14.
That's double.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, just if I may, Mr. Chairman, this is just a reminder, I guess I'll call it a theory at this point, is that this may be, since it is occurring at Station 4, that well is closest to the river. And as I suggested before, when that well gets pumped near capacity, every indication it was pulling water from the river and the associated wetlands. And manganese and iron will move from wetland deposits, I submitted an article, which I believe we posted on the website, that sort of substantiates this connection between iron and manganese and wetlands and induced infiltration. So the other related subject is the water treatment report. We've gotten some news that there could be some big expenses coming for some water treatment. One of the reasons we might have to do water treatment is to remove iron and manganese.
Right.
And if I'm right, the reason why we might be spending a lot of money is because we're pumping the wells maybe more than they could or should be near the wetland. And this goes right back to the irrigation. So put the whole thing together, cost of irrigating lawns might be using a lot of our water and causing us to treat the wells because we're transporting the iron and manganese. So all this may be tied together. I'm theorizing here, but this is all, there's some logic to this. So we could save ourselves a lot of money if, in fact, this is true. We could. I mean, I'd love to look at the results. And I guess what I'd look at is, you've already told me Station 4 is the big one, which is what I would guess.
Oh, yeah.
And if it if it's occurring during heavy pumping period, then that would help substantiate a little bit more. So it's something we should, I think about a little bit more. I'd be happy to look into a little bit.
Right.
And I think it's something we should keep thinking about. Because it does relate, I think it could potentially relate to the cost, the treatment costs report as well.
Okay. Yeah, right now, I mean, if you're looking at pump, I mean, we're not pumping it, but every, you know, fifth day now and everything, but, you know, so.
Are these samples taken during the summer?
We don't.
The iron and manganese ones that you did?
No, we've always gone by what the state requires. They require us to do this in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
They require us, you know, like even like with the pumping, we don't pump any more out than they tell us we can.
I see.
You know, by permit and everything else. Yep. So yeah, it. You know, we come to think sometimes that, you know, because they tell us we can or whatever, you know, because it's right, you know, or what to this effect, yeah. So I don't. You're right. It might be something seasonal, you know, to think about or something like that. Even yeah, and it's actually scheduled to be cleaned real soon. Like within the next month to two.
Station four,
yeah. So the last time I pulled it out of there, I had to put a new pump in because it was just loaded with iron.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's going to look like this time, but it'd be nice to check and see. Last time, though, after we cleaned it, I think levels went up too. I'd like to look back and see that a little more after we cleaned it and see exactly what year that was and if that had a big increase on some of the stuff too.
Yeah.
Because then it might pump more efficiently.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, one bit of good news here is both iron and manganese are so-called secondary standards.
Correct.
They're not a public health hazard. They're more of a nuisance.
Yep.
Staining. People complain, although it can be, you know, people get calls about laundry, people having, you know, staining of their laundry, whatnot. That's probably iron and manganese.
Right.
And it's not cheap to treat either. That's the other problem.
We do have that treatment report that we'll discuss at a future date.
Yeah.
So
it over to Scott too.
And maybe we should look at
pulling
some samples during peak.
Yeah, let's
pumping.
Compare pumping versus non-pumping conditions. That would be great. I think that would be great.
And the last thing I just wanted to mention, it has last month all total coliform samples were fine. This month, just because I like to keep you guys up on it a tiny bit. We did get a total coliform hit from Station 3, which has been down for the SCADA conversion. So we haven't been running it that much. It was in the raw water. The plant treatment water didn't have it. It was already taken care of before it got into the system. State doesn't make you do anything except just let them know that that happened. You don't have to resample. You don't have to do any kind of the total coliform rule out there of notification, upstream, downstream sampling, anything like that. It's already called a self-corrected total coliform incident.
Hmm.
So it did happen. I'll keep an eye out and let you know if it happens again.
We haven't had any problems at Station 3 before, have
we? We had it probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we had to shut down because one of the pumps had broke. And when we started it back up, it did the same thing. So I have a feeling it might be. Yeah, I think what it is the water coming up. You might get a little bit of iron in the pipe or something, and iron bacteria can show as coliform or something like that. It might not even be a bad bacteria, but you know, coliform can be a good thing too. Not usually, but there are good. Yeah.
Okay, we'll move to the superintendent's report. West Street tank cleaning. This is the issue of the.
Did you guys want the warrants?
Oh yeah, we didn't do the warrants. We skipped right over that.
I'd like to second Commissioner Horsley's earlier motion to accept the minutes.
Okay.
As prepared.
All right.
Good.
I'm still plowing through them, so we'll table that. So we will be signing the warrants. Why don't you give us the tank cleaning update while we do that.
Okay. I talked to the gentleman who gave me a price from Utility Services, and I said, you know, I have to get a sanitary survey done at West Street. I want to get it cleaned on the outside. You throw me two huge prices. Any way we can get a two-for-one deal here? And he said, I'll tell you what. He says, those prices came from down south on everything I gave you. He said, let me call the local vendor, and I will get back to you. That was last week on Wednesday. So it's been a week waiting for him to get back to me. I don't know who's running over to, but I know his local vendor, and he was the one who gave me the price last time. So I will give him a call and push him to say, we hurry up and get back.
Okay, well, we've told the public the tank will be cleaned before they come for next summer.
Yep.
Well, Santa shows.
Yeah, well, you know, can't be up there in icing conditions, right?
All right, Skater, we actually have been running Station 3 a little bit. We've run into, as I said, a couple issues. We had one of our amino pump, the lime dried up a little bit in it, and it lost its prime. So we wanted to make sure that was running right. We had a couple overflows down there. I don't want it running out without anybody being there or without anybody watching it. So it actually didn't actually run on the system till today. We've run it throughout the day the last couple times, but having it turn off and on by the levels of the tank and everything else was today. And it ended pretty well, but we want to keep it on a week before and get good stuff before we start converting any of the others over.
So it looked pretty good?
Yeah, we had a couple issues with the tank shutting it down earlier. Like, they were running off one tank instead of the other. They had automatically done stuff and put in some figures that I didn't tell them to put in. I don't know where they got the figures they had, but for some reason they had figures that were about a foot shorter than what they should have had. So it shut off before any other pumps in the stations did. And I told him, I said, why is it off? And he said, because the tank's full. And I said, if the tank was full, my other pump would shut off. So we had to talk about that too and everything. But it's doing what it's supposed to do, at least.
Okay. Might, so.
Right. So there's a couple little things we got to work out, but it's good. Let's see. Valuation of old SCADA PLCs and radios. I talked to a gentleman from GHD who is their computer guy, and he said, you probably have to call your local vendor to find out exactly what they're worth. He says, but what I would suggest you do, he says, is go on to Google. He says, and check Google Shopping or eBay or any of that and see what people are asking for them. So I did put in the type of monitor, modem radio that we have. They were averaging anywhere from, I'd say, $190 up to $260 for them used.
How many do we have?
Five. So.
So we're talking between $500 and $1,000 at the most.
Could be, yeah. Worth the product, yeah.
And can you remind me or us what your recommendation was to do with this?
I had offered, I would like to offer them to a neighboring fire district who has older radios that are obsolete at this point, and it would be an alternative system to them to turn over without having to spend. When we bought these, this is one of the things that we were talking about last night at the meeting. We spent $17,000 to buy these and have a guy come down, take out the old ones, install the new. This would just be helping them out to not have to spend that much money, basically.
And you've indicated that your fellow superintendents do these kind of things as occasionally for us as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a help out thing where, you know, if they need a pipe, you know, part, it's, I don't want to say a good old boy now, but a sharing network back and forth where usually things get replaced or something like that, or if, you know, they need a guy to come over and help, they will. And we have a closer relationship with this town because they're more our size, and they've offered to come over. They've come over and knocked on the door and helped in the past.
Anybody feel strongly one way or the other?
I think I voiced my opinion on this last meeting. I like to support the other local districts. I think when we need their help, it's nice to, well, you don't have to remind them because they know.
It's a reciprocal. Yeah.
And I think it's worked in the past, and it's something that we're no longer using. I don't see a big boom to the district by selling them, and that would take employee time as well away from their day-to-day activities.
And it's a specialty thing that you'd have to find out there. Yeah. You'd have to put them on. You don't know if anybody's ever going to buy them, tell you the truth.
Ever going to buy them.
Yeah.
They're outdated. That's my
So I'll entertain a motion to donate this used equipment to our fellow district water suppliers.
So this is just the modems, right?
Yeah, there's five of them, the radio modems, yeah, the communication for the SCADA system.
For the new SCADA system?
Yeah, and when we put the new in, the ones that we have fit right now will be obsolete. We won't have a reason. We're not going to need them for backup or anything like that. There is not going to be a way to have them for backup. So they were going to say, you throw them away, do what you want. They're yours at that point, but they're not needed, is what they told me.
So I would make a motion that we offer Barnstable Water District the old modems and radio communications that are no longer of use to us.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. And sanitary inspections? Oh, by the way, I'm going to interrupt. I have read the minutes. We had a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Sanitary inspections, Chris?
I know Jen told me what that's for. Does anybody remember what sanitary inspections are for?
All right, we'll come back to that. Maybe it'll... The witness needs his memory jogged, apparently.
She told me, too. I'm like, what is a sanitary inspection about?
All right. So hydrant 138 repair, Old Shore Road.
Yeah, that has not been fixed yet. I have a dig safe. I have three other curb stops that have to be done at the same time. So I'm waiting for Bordelotti to give me a day or two of work to fix it, but it is out of service right now. We'll be on as soon as that'll be the first thing we do when we go to do these others. We have a couple curb stops that are snapped or that are leaking by doing turnoffs. We usually pick up one or two a year, and they have to be replaced also. Some of them the same side of the road, some of them have to be shot across. But we have four of them right now. We just pulled permits on. I just got the permits back last week on road opening permits. And the dig safe will be up, or is up, but now on them, so not a problem.
Where is that hydrant on the road? Is it on the way down?
It's on the way out.
On the way up. Nope.
Ouch, yeah, if you go up, after you make the corner at the boat ramp.
Drain.
No, and it's not leaking. Right now I can't hear it leaking, but they're dry. So if I open up that hydrant now and start putting water up into it, if it rushes to the back, is it going to shake too much and knock something free? I want to be able to get there, get down on them, go in, make sure there's nothing loose, tighten everything back down, then turn it on and pressure check it so that I'd hate to have a fire happen down there and have a firefighter or fire truck wash into the ocean. So.
Do you notify the fire department when there's hydrants or?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes they'll call me every day and ask if it's back in service yet when they really want it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when do you expect to get to that? When are you going to get to that?
I expected last week to have it done when I got the permits back, but Bordelotti's quite busy right now, and every time I call him, he said, I'll get there as soon as I can. He has like 15 business days after I bring a check in, so I tell him, hey, the check's here, you know, we need you to do this before I have to call in his emergency. We try.
Yeah.
Anything else on your report, Chris? It's not listed.
Yes and no. I was just going to go over real quick with the report that I'll give you the pumpage.
We have those
figures, yep.
Here, that data.
In October of 2018, we pumped 13,868,000. In October of 2019, we pumped 14,881,000, for an increase of 1,013,000 more than last year, which I attribute to the great weather we've had in October last year, where it's just been beautiful. I'm surprised. I think November's going to be up there a little bit too, because we just really haven't had. I was wearing shorts.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, what's wrong with it? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. It will be beautiful. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Okay. I was wearing shorts last week.
I know.
All right. We did have one new water service put in down on Clamshell Cove Road. Clamshell Cove Road. We had two replacement services, one over on Main Street and one down on Nickerson Road. We did have one leak in a 5-foot piece of copper over on Curlew Way. It was in a sideline, which seem to be, this is the time of year, for some reason, we seem to get pinholes. They start popping up here and there. The last thing I have on here is I got a letter, which I don't know if you remember Mrs. Tromba.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Savitz sent us a letter about that we had to do some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pass one down. I got this back at the end of the month here from, this is her elder lawyer. I called up our lawyer and said, I don't know who to send everything to. I have one lawyer calling me, telling me one thing, and that's the one you were talking to before. Everything seemed to be okay. You've been talking with him in the past. Everything's not much is happening. She came in to pay her bill, and I told her I'd get her the results and the report that was there. And 2 days later, I got this in the mail. I didn't tell her. I'm sorry, Mrs. Tromba came in to pay her bill.
Came in and paid her bill?
Yeah, her and her daughter came in and to talk and everything. And she says things are just as bad as they've always been to her. So we went over there, flushed the road again. We turned off a gate. The way the hydraulics are in this neighborhood, it has a 10-inch water main that feeds through an easement, runs off to the right around a circle, then heads into an 8-inch main that heads off to Putnam Ave. At the T, on the other side of the 10-inch, is a 6-inch water main. She lives on that 6-inch water main, the small one. So what we did was, after we flushed and cleaned everything up, we shut that 10-inch water gate down to force the water by her house and by, because Sean was talking to me. He says, you know, you might be kind of damming that whole road by such a big water main and the water pushing through, that the little water main's not getting anything unless one guy opens his faucet. You're not getting a good travel through there. It's not using it as a transmission. So we thought we'd try that too, and I told her I dropped this stuff off, actually all the stuff to her tonight, because my advice from Mark Boudreau was send me the letter, send me the stuff, I'll give it to Chuck Savitz, and then I'll call you back. I finally talked to him Monday. He told me, Chuck told him, bring me the stuff, I'll send everything to this woman. When I talked to, when I left this afternoon, I had a couple minutes, so I went over and saw Mrs. Tromba, and was talking to her, and she's been on vacation for 3 weeks. And she said, oh, I don't even deal with that guy anymore. He wanted too much money. So I told her, I said, well, if you want to send this to her, go right ahead. I said, I didn't know who to talk to, and I was only going by my lawyer's recommendations. So I don't know if Beth would like to come here. It's an open meeting. She can. I'll tell them when the next meeting is.
You've been keeping a log of every...
Yes.
...visit and communication with her?
Yeah.
So we have that.
Yep.
So we've been testing over there. We've been pulling water, right?
We've been flushing over there monthly.
Been flushing and been pulling water at her house?
We haven't tested any more since we did the initial back in January.
Yeah.
Or December, whatever it was, yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it, that you're doing all this work and there's no change.
And it's not at high enough levels that it should be making the difference in her house. There's a couple suggestions in the draft plan that says, from DEP, when I talked to one, she says, test the hot water over there.
Yeah.
And just see, because she doesn't have, it's a tankless unit that she has, she told me.
Up too high, we talked about that.
Right, so it's weird, and she said, also, just reassure that the sprinkler line comes off before the filter. I believe it comes off after, if I remember right. So when it forces the water through, it forces it in through the filter, and I don't even know, you might be getting breakthrough with the filter. So she has a little cartridge filter in there. It's actually a larger one, but it's not a professional system where you can backwash it or anything like that. You just got to change the filter and put a new there. So, it might be getting clogged up, and she might be getting breakthrough. That's where she's getting this inside the house a little more or something.
So this is manganese and iron.
Is that the problem? Yeah.
So it's they turn black.
Yeah.
It's manganese, and it doesn't look good. And she says to me, look how disgusting that is. And I said, well, it's done its job. You put a filter on, it's going to filter out anything that comes through. And that's what it's doing. It's filtering it out and keeping it right here.
So remind me now, there are people on either side of her. She's not the last person.
No.
Right.
No, and the people on either side of her have lower manganese levels.
We've tested
and iron levels, yeah.
We've tested them.
We tested them. That's part of the report. I can get you the report if you want to look at it.
So it can't be the water system.
Where is the staining occurring, or where is she seeing it in the house? Is it in the laundry?
Laundry. She says she can't drink the water. The tub gets it all the time. I said, well, that's high flow. You're going to get it in the high flow no matter, it would happen in my house if I turned it on.
Usually it comes from the hot water heater?
I don't think she has a hot water heater, she says.
Really?
She says it goes
through hot water?
Her furnace. She has like a tankless unit.
Oh, I see.
When was the last time she cleaned it?
She has that maintained. She has a contract on it and maintained. She says that's somebody in there every 3 months. She says she lives alone to me. Every time I go over there, she has a child living with her. One day her daughter called and she was talking to me and said that that was a daughter. They're calling to check on her. And she says she lives here. I said, I thought you said you lived alone. She goes, well, she's only here at night. So she also complains that she uses too much water. There's no way she could use that much water. But she's a sweet, wonderful woman also.
Yeah.
They're cleaning and they're scraping every 3 months. They're probably liberating a lot of material that gets stored in the system.
Yeah, and she's put a lot of maintenance into everything. She says things have fallen apart in the place. It's all the water's fault.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody actually knows what the contractor is doing.
Correct.
Could be down there with a rag just...
Gonna be back in 3 months.
Don't kill the job.
I've gone over there. I've moved the tap twice. First time we retapped higher on the water main, and then I moved it up the street as far as I could to a property line, had them tap it again, and ran it down and replaced up until halfway across the lawn just so I didn't have to dig up her grass. I did it in her driveway. So, I mean, we've replaced lines over there twice. I bent over backwards over there and put a lot of money into it. And according to when I talked to DB, she goes, you did more than anybody I've ever seen to try to keep something quiet.
Are there master plumbers that might have opinions that for in-house plumbing?
Do we know it's a manganese problem, or are you just guessing? Do we sample?
I have some sample results from the house.
Can you take a sample where
water main comes into the house?
Yep.
In addition to the faucet or whatever?
Correct.
Wouldn't that eliminate, like, saying suggested something in the house?
Right, right.
So no, you take it where it's coming in the house and then at her faucet where she's seeing the problem.
Right.
If it's different.
They are, but it's still coming in higher than her neighbor.
At
her house.
As it comes into the house.
At the meter,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, are doing that. I see, okay.
Before the before the filter, after the filter, basically,
okay.
And stuff, yeah. The filter is much lower, but it's doing its job. It's taking it out after the filter. So, I guess I could take it someplace else in the house without the filter, shut the filter off and try it.
Yeah.
That's something I haven't thought of either.
We can keep testing and testing and testing, and we can just run a new line in and say, we're going to give you a new line.
Well,
it's costly.
Right.
But she's still having the same problem. Now, she's asking in this, she's just asking for the data from the...
Yeah, and I've given it all to Mrs. Trombo, who can give it to her. Yeah, she said she would give it to her.
But it's still a problem.
Okay.
It's weird. It's a weird problem because neighbors either side aren't having the issue.
Correct. It comes up, and I took a... dissolved and filtered, basically,
mm-hmm.
when we took it to take out any solids, and there was a slight difference there, too.
So we need a letter in response. I think it's a simple letter saying, Dear Attorney Lynch, we've provided all the information we have. How did you communicate it? You gave it to her directly or through Sabbath?
I dropped off the testing results that we had from that the document was based on.
A little cover letter that says, thank you for your letter. We have provided all the information directly to your client. I'm happy to provide it to you as well, upon your request. And do we have any further steps that we're exploring or not?
I would like to take a couple more samples just to see if a pre-meter, one without the filter going in there, because that was somebody that the filter breakthrough kind of makes me wonder, too, if it's something like that in there could be even showing a little bit, there. See, what's the difference? How much is the filter actually catching? How much isn't it? The hot water. Bad time of year, but I'd like to try it off the sprinkler system one time when it's out there to see if, the high draw is doing something. When it's really going like crazy,
So
scouring.
Chris, why don't you put this in the letter, what your next steps would be for additional testing.
Right.
And if you'd like their cooperation to conduct this testing, further testing, and that we understand their frustration. It's perplexing to us as well, and if she wants to meet with the water commissioners, she and her and or her client, we're happy to put them on the agenda, but she might want to wait until the additional results are in.
Okay.
Maybe Jen got some of that.
A couple other things.
Yes.
Does she have a 1-inch or a 2-inch?
1-inch.
Okay. And that's what the neighbors have as well.
Yep. She is on a lower spot.
When you did the retaps, you kept the same line and just fed them back.
I put new line in, new brass, new line, except for the last 17 feet coming out of the house. She has a very well manicured lawn and a nice garden, so we just pulled the bluestone back, found it, cut the pipe at that point, put a fitting together where we brought in the new pipe, plugged it into there, shot across the yard, and I paid that for all that to be done too, with her permission. Like I said, she's a great. She bought the guys that were doing the work, pizza and everything else that day.
Yeah. But it is a low spot.
It's on the downward slope of the road, but it's not the very bottom. It's going down the road. So there's somebody actually across the street that I would think is in a lower spot, and I went over to talk to him. He said, I don't have a problem at all. Shut the door and turn the lights off, basically.
Okay, well, we'll continue to discuss the situation.
Did you get a call from a woman on Pompanesset who's a renter, who's on well water right now, and wants to get a hookup?
Not that I know of.
She called me. I talked to her for a long time and then sent her to Jen.
She's a renter?
Yeah, she rents on the dirt part of Pompanesset, one of the older houses, and I don't know if it's before the 1973 cutoff point or not, in terms of us giving her some relief from having to pay for the line to come in, right?
Huh.
I know there's something in the...
I just think I thought everybody's converted over there.
Yeah. I just wondered, just because we were on
this
the
is down by where they just paved. It's halfway through.
The dirt portion of it, where they built those couple new houses back in there. At least one of them, across from Grover's.
Yeah, they just paved from Santuit up to that house.
Did they pave it?
Yeah, the guy paid. Oh, they all get together to pay. So, I think. There might be one house there that's not converted over. You're right.
She has trouble.
Yeah, she's in between.
Kid. Water still smells.
I'm sure there's a curb stop there. I'm sure there's a curb stop there. It would just be her coming in, and if she can show that she was built between, I think, before 1974, I think it is, the house was built, then she wouldn't have to pay the $600 assessment fee.
I'm going to go back out of order and see if there's any public comment. Can we use the mic, please? We know who you are.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. The reason I came here this evening because I was attending the Prudential Committee meeting earlier, and there was a lot of discussion regarding you guys and your participation in the space needs study, or lack of there. Being, and I just wanted to ask, when I read the first report done on the space needs, it said that they did ask for the input of the needs of the water department, and I just wanted to know how you guys felt about that study. You know, well, do you feel like you gave your input? And
I've only been here for a year and a half. I don't remember being polled on that question. We have the institutional memory. Either side of me here.
Yeah,
Commissioner Hoppenstein.
I don't.
I would defer to Superintendent Wiseman.
I'm not sure
that we were consulted as a sitting board now.
No, I don't think. I think it would have been Chris and Jen probably because.
Yeah.
We might have been asked if we had any. I think and Dawn at the time might have been considered in on this a little bit. Mm-hmm. They might have asked if we had any. Need for extra space or anything, and we said no. We where we are is in plenty. We don't see us building out anymore, and I don't really. They didn't ask us if we had any room for anything, but we did tell them that we're in the same boat as anybody else. We're not handicapped accessible there. If we do any work or anything to put in an office, something we have to. Put in and widen doors and make sure that our doors in the back have a ramp even coming out of them, which would stop. We'd have to reconfigure the whole center room there where the heater is and everything else because you wouldn't be able to get to the heater because it's illegal to open up.
I just know the treasurer / clerk used to reside at the water department, and I didn't know if that space was still available. That was my concern.
They were there for a while, but... There was no records with them. Back when Agnes was treasurer, she was there, and then I think it was Kristen. When Agnes left and Kristen took over, Kristen was there for a while. Chief Olson, there was a meeting one day, I don't know if it was Prudential Committee or Fire Department, chief called me up in the morning one morning and said, hey, we're coming over and grabbing everything and bringing it over to the fire department. Mm-hmm. Said, okay.
That was and, summer of 2012.
Yeah, and they came over with the, like four or five fire department guys. They loaded it all in a truck, and everybody moved down to High Street. And at the time, I don't know, I thought it kind of strange because I thought that Chief Olson was the one who had her move to us to get out of there because she was working out of her house. And I think at the time, Commissioner Kiley had offered to put a desk down on the corner there and run some cables over through our cable service, and just so she had a place to work so she didn't have to work from home.
I would say that the policy committee, right, we are going to be meeting in a few weeks here, a couple on the 4th, and I think that'll be one of the main agenda items to look at is long-term planning for the district and for the employees of the district, part-time and full-time.
Okay, in the interest of time, I'm going to just ask under old business, if there's anything pressing that needs to be discussed. I don't have anything new about the old tower site. Tom, you were going to look at the general policies. Is there anything critical there?
Yeah, I did. I marked them up.
So is it just something that you can give to Jen?
And I can
she
just
needs to retype the whole thing. Anyway.
Right.
So why don't you just give that to her?
Turn this over.
And then let her retype the whole thing. It's
It's not even a
digital file at this point, is it?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No,
that's an old one.
So, so we'll do that. I've given her some comments as well.
That's for Jen.
And so Jen, you can look for that from Commissioner Hoppenstadt. Anything?
Yeah, actually, under Little River and Water Management Act, I did, just as a reminder, I did draft. I think I called it an advisory that we were going to wordsmith together and maybe post, so that's still out there, and mm-hmm. invite you guys to look at it and edit it on the water conservation
mm-hmm.
2 meetings ago, and then pursuant to the discussion we had last month, I did take a look at Mashpee's regulation they have on irrigation system.
Okay.
And I did draft, and I believe I sent it to everybody, I drafted a proposed regulation for us, which pretty much tracks the Mashpee regulation, which is, although it actually goes a little further, because their regulation says no new irrigation systems, no new customers to the water district over there cannot have irrigation. That's what theirs says.
Right.
What I drafted was no new irrigation system, whether you're a new customer to the water department or an existing customer. It takes it a little further. And then
irrigation meaning using the public water supply.
Yes, and it's like Mashpee's. It says.
What about a sprinkler?
What do you mean?
You mean a difference between an in-ground system?
Well, actually, their regulation does distinguish that, and I pretty much copied theirs. So, if you do that, then there's certain restrictions that you should follow on that. But there was one other provision. It does say. Well, that's what the sprinkler says. But it does offer that if you want to have an irrigation system you don't now, that you should consider a private on-lot well, in which case we'd cross-reference this discussion on the fertigation
right.
as well. That's what I wrote in the proposed regulation.
That'll look good.
And so I'd entertain maybe next meeting we can mm-hmm. get on the agenda for action.
Yeah. So
I mean, we got plenty of time. It's not going to happen until the spring.
Did you include me in on that?
I thought I did, Chris, but if
I don't
not, I'll
remember
forward.
Seeing anything.
I don't remember seeing it either.
I don't remember
it. I saw it. I got it.
Thank you.
I got it right here.
I'll forward it. No bragging allowed here. Okay.
I'll forward it.
So we'll put it under new business for next meeting. And Jen, for the record, we want to put the treatment report under new business as well, discussion of that, and keep the existing. And I think we'll move the use of the Kituat School from new business to old business. We did have a discussion with Councillor Rapp Grizzetti, who essentially told us that she sits on the Asset Management Committee of the Town Council,
and she's made it very clear to the town manager that nothing should happen to the change in use of the school without the village input, and also that we expressed to her our concern about any change in uses that might affect the water quality and the water treatment at the facility. I think there was some indication that the idea of having it continue as partial school use is not dead. The Cape Cod Collaborative still has some interest in the property, but there's everything's still up in the air. So we just wanted to go on record about our water quality concerns, and I think we also encourage them to think long-term strategically about space needs, consolidation of all the departments. Might be cheaper than building a new facility. So in any case, there was nothing decided. We just wanted to go on the record, and we will be writing a letter that Commissioner Horsley has offered to draft regarding the water quality concerns in particular of the site. So our next meeting date, I guess, would be the third Wednesday
18th.
In December, December 18th.
Yes.
I guess that's not too close to the holiday, depending on which holiday you prefer to celebrate.
Did everybody else get Jen's email today?
Yes.
There was an invitation that we received for
sure.
A holiday dinner. For staff and commissioners, so we should let Jen know about that and our availability. And I think it's December 13th. Is it
Monday? Tuesday? I don't know.
Anyway, that came out today. So we will set our next meeting Wednesday, December 18th, at 5:45 p.m. And is there any other business that I did not reasonably expect? Hearing none, I would declare a motion to adjourn at 7:17.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.